Hey, this is Randall.
And this is John.
From the Don't Wake the Kids podcast.
You're listening to our favorite podcast,
Weird. I hope you're ready for some funny.
Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Craig?
Hey, what's up, Aaron?
What are you doing, man?
I was playing with my phone and it made a noise.
Did it really?
I don't think we heard it, though.
I don't think so either. Although I did hear something. I don't know what it was. How are you, man?
I'm all right.
You know it's episode 110.
Yeah.
We're only 90 away from 200.
I know. I'm going to hear about this the next 90 episodes.
Isn't that awesome?
You're going to say, well, we're actually at like 115 if you add all the extra garbage that
we really are. Yeah. If you look on iTunes right now, there's like 115 episodes.
I am looking out the window of the Lee Berry Studios, and you couldn't ask for a more perfect day.
You know, we got Studio 2 today, and it does have a huge window. And
huge.
I think I'm going to pull the blinds because I don't want you getting distracted.
No. It puts me in a good mood to look out the window.
I know how distracted you could be.
No, we're not going to pull the blinds because I like it.
Hey, you ever go to weirdnewspodcast.com?
I don't know if you can't even say it.
Weirdnewspodcast.com.
Yeah, I've gone there.
Because you know what we got there? We got a button you can push and leave us a voicemail.
Yeah, we talked about that before. Remember I kept telling you that nobody could find the phone number and you were like, no, you can push.
There's not a phone number. There is no phone number for our voicemail.
Phone numbers are so last century.
Oh, man, they're like 2000, period. It's terrible. Anyway, we also have show notes there. We got other stuff there. We got other goodies you could check out.
Would it be more like 1999, not 2000?
Whatever.
If they were last century.
Yeah, maybe. Who cares?
So there are show notes?
Yeah.
Tacos?
Nope. Not yet.
Can we get tacos?
Yeah, I can get Choco Tacos.
Can we
get
Choco Tacos?
Yes, sir.
Can we get some cookie fries?
Maybe. What kind of fries?
Cookie fries.
Thank you.
I'm not going to do it.
Why not?
Cookie fries.
Yeah, thanks.
The kids do love it.
It's a flashback.
Yeah. So
way back, over a year ago. You know, we've been doing this for over a year.
I know.
Yeah, but
believe me, I know.
Look at this stack of news.
I don't have stacks anymore. Weird. It's on my news. iPad.
Yeah, but look how thick that stack is on your iPad.
That's why the iPad's thicker. Because it's got so many stories.
I thought you might have got a new one, but it's just this. It's loaded.
Aaron, I don't know about you, but this whole going back to two shows a week.
Yeah, it's exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's exciting.
Sure it is.
There was a parade.
I know.
And there was like a big news story about it.
Yeah. Brian, what's his name from NBC?
Yeah, the guy that lies on
the phone. He said it was good.
He said it was really good. And, oh, there's some traffic going on outside the Lee Berry Studios.
That's
what's
the parade.
Going on?
It's the parade part, too.
Oh.
You know, we got news stories.
Yeah, we should probably talk about those. We're kind of being a little lackadaisical about this whole...
Well, it's such a beautiful day, and we're... You know what? We got two episodes this week, so why not be a little lackadaisical?
Lackadaisical.
Top story.
Teen drug dealer calls police to report someone stole her drugs.
Okay.
This has happened more than once.
It's like every other episode, we have a story. Some idiot...
Calls the cops and says, hey, my drugs are missing.
Or, yeah, I got ripped off on this drug deal.
You must be in the mind of a druggie.
Must be.
To understand it. You have to be in their mind. Because somewhere there's a disconnect of a couple of wires in the brain that says, no, okay, cops, you call them when there's help, when I need help, and I call them when I need help with my drugs.
Yeah. Missing. Yeah, maybe. Well, this is a kid, pretty much. This little girl.
Well, it's also Greenwood, Indiana.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I didn't say there's anything wrong with it.
I'm going to Indiana in December.
Why?
We're going to see Dennis DeYoung. Live in concert. He's doing the 40th anniversary Grand Illusion.
Don't let it end.
He's doing the... And he may throw Roboto in. I don't know. I hope.
We've had this conversation. I'm a Tommy Shaw fan.
I love Tommy Shaw. What's wrong with Tommy Shaw?
Dennis DeYoung is way too over the top.
Dennis DeYoung is...
But he's still got the chops.
He's so... Oh, his voice is better now than ever.
Yeah.
And I can't wait.
We're talking about Styx, kids.
Yeah, if you didn't know.
The band's not called Styx.
Dennis DeYoung
started.
It's not
called Styx, kids. It's called Styx.
Dennis DeYoung started Styx back in the 70s, early 70s.
When you were like 20.
No, I was not like 20. I was barely walking in the 70s.
What, are you barely walking now? Full circle.
Are we going to read about this drug dealer or
Greenwood,
what?
Greenwood, Indiana, an underage girl called police to report someone had stolen her drugs.
Yep.
Around 8 p.m. Tuesday, the girl called police and said two boys came to her home, put a gun to her head, and stole the marijuana she had planned to sell them.
Wow.
This is believable, by the way.
Yeah, sure it is.
I mean, you go to get a drug deal and you get robbed.
Well, I told you, these stories are true.
Well, they are true.
Yes.
Don't say that kind of sarcastically. They are true.
These are true stories.
Yes.
And they're weird.
We're not in the business of telling weird stories that aren't true.
Speaking of news, this is the only news you need to know. If you're listening to this podcast, you don't have to watch the network news because it's all bad news.
And this is all good news.
This is all funny, weird news.
And it's all real. I mean, yeah, what you said. I really can't elaborate any further.
Okay, go ahead.
But if it's okay with you, I'm going to tell the rest of
this. We need to get through this story so we can get on to the next one.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Police said the incident involved a total of five teenagers, all between 14 and 16 years old. Officers found drug paraphernalia all over the house, that's in quotes, including marijuana. I like to say marijuana.
Yeah.
Smoking pipes, a digital scale, a grinder, all kinds of stuff, said the police.
Do you have a digital scale at your house?
I do.
I do, too.
But it's for food, not for drugs,
Do you have a grinder?
Pepper grinder?
Yeah.
No, I don't have one of those.
See, I've got all these things except for the smoking pipes and the marijuana.
But if you turn on the hot water, the pipes start smoking, don't they?
Sometimes.
Sometimes that'll happen.
Yeah, steaming.
So really, just the marijuana is all that's the issue here.
I hope my pipes aren't smoking.
Well, I mean, I got...
I know where you're going. Don't go there.
Well, I'm not... I didn't say anything.
No, I know. Don't.
Can I continue?
Please.
Police later arrested the alleged thieves and took them to the juvenile detention center.
Juvie.
The girl admitted to officers she arranged the drug deal. One of the boys told police he went to the home under the guise of buying drugs, but planned to steal them instead.
So he just fessed up. I did it.
So he's killing the credibility of druggies everywhere.
Yeah, he's too young to know better.
Searches of homes in connection with the case resulted in the stolen marijuana and the gun used during the robbery. The teens involved in the theft will likely face robbery and drug charges. The girl will likely face a charge of possession of drug paraphernalia.
You know, I think she may have known what she was doing. I think she said, all right, you're going to do that. Watch what I can do. I will sacrifice my freedom.
I will send myself to jail.
Just to get you in trouble. Well, let's take that story and go to another.
You okay over there?
I'm okay. Headline is Steamboat Man Suspected of Stealing a Christmas Tree.
This is a man that's actually a steamboat.
He's not a steamboat he is a man, but he's from Steamboat Springs.
Oh, so he's not like a giant steamboat man.
And he doesn't drive one either, pilot one. Whatever
you do. Steamboat's actually Steamboat Springs.
Yeah, Steamboat Springs. Police suspect a 23-year-old Steamboat Springs man broke into a condo and stole items, which included a Christmas tree. Micah Anderson was arrested Tuesday. He only has two names. Usually the criminals
Criminal, that means he probably was set up.
Anderson was arrested Tuesday on suspicion of felony second-degree burglary and theft. Later in the day, Anderson's roommate contacted the police and told them that Anderson was very drunk Saturday night and broke into the neighbor's condo, according to arrest affidavit. The story that I saw, the actual video story of this, said that he thought it was his condo and he had locked himself out. That may be in this somewhere here, but... So the roommates told... Here it is, right here. The roommates told the police Anderson broke into the condo thinking he was locked out of his own condo. So he thought he was drunk. And condos, they look the same.
They do.
But anyway, he got in and realized it wasn't his. So the roommates told police he returned home with items. So he went to his real home and he had some towels. He just stole some towels. Maybe he thought he was at a hotel.
Right.
I don't know. Toilet paper. Maybe he thought he was out in Japan. And he's like, hey, I don't have to just go with three little sheets. I can take a whole roll.
Take what I want.
A Christmas tree. He stole a Christmas tree, a DVD, and some books. So he's a higher learner.
So he thought he was in his place.
Yeah, but then
stealing stuff from himself.
He's like, this. You know, I figured it out, Craig. He broke into this place thinking it was his home, and he thought, this isn't my stuff. I better take this out so whoever it belongs to can find it. If I was his attorney, that would be my defense.
You're not. I'm glad you're not an attorney.
So police contacted Anderson at work. Micah eventually admitted to being very intoxicated and thinking that he got locked out of his unit. He stated when he got into the residence, he realized it wasn't his, and he stole some toilet paper. That's all he admitted to. Yeah, I needed some toilet paper.
I kind of need some.
Anderson also admitted to taking the Christmas tree. So he said, the tree and the paper, that's me. The books, the DVD, that stuff, I don't know.
Wow. So that was really a weird story.
Sure it was.
This right here?
Yeah.
Must be a millennial.
Must be.
Man didn't go to girlfriend's funeral because he had an exam.
Well what's she going to do? Break up with him?
Yeah, what's she going to?
She ain't going to know.
Yeah, what does she care? A law student said he didn't go to his girlfriend's funeral because he was taking an exam that day. Jonathan appeared on Dr. Phil. He's just got one name.
Yeah.
Jonathan appeared on Dr. Phil to defend himself after Samantha's parents blamed him for her suicide.
She's only got one name, too. Oh, that's terrible. She's saying you're the reason she killed herself.
She killed herself because of you.
Ooh.
Asked why he didn't attend the funeral, Jonathan said, I had a licensure exam that day. I didn't attend the funeral because I thought the healthiest way for me to grieve was to put all of my energy into my schooling and my work, and I didn't want to let this disrupt the progress I was making.
Says on Dr. Phil. This sounds more like it should be on a Jerry Springer.
Maybe. I didn't want to have to reschedule my final exams, and it was 500 miles away
Good
as
night.
Well. The pair lived together, and Jonathan said Samantha was the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
So great that I'm not even going to her funeral.
He talks a little bit like Sam the Eagle.
Yeah, he does.
He does. He said they fell crazy in love and were good at communicating with one another, except for times when she was suicidal and then she wouldn't talk to anybody.
No.
But claims...
when she was talking, they spoke the same language.
Right, so English.
Good communication.
But claims he found out she'd been having an affair. Jonathan told Samantha he wanted to break up. However, he claims she became extremely distressed and talked about taking her own life. The student said he grew unhappy and wanted to see other people.
That happens when somebody cheats in a relationship a lot of times.
Typically, you would think that probably breaks the...
Yeah.
You know,
I say he's free to go. And he probably thought when she started threatening suicide that it was manipulation.
Yeah. She was being a drama queen.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that I'm a psychologist or whatever.
Maybe you're also an interrupter. he claims she became extremely distressed and talked about taking her own life.
Did you call me an interrupter?
Yes. The student said, the student said he grew unhappy and wanted to see other people, but told her he was okay with living together as housemates instead.
Oh, no. That never works. No.
Her parents, Dan and Katie, claimed Jonathan was emotionally abusive towards their daughter, and an allegation he vigorously denies.
I love the way that whoever wrote this story is so comfortable with it. No last names at all.
No last names.
It's Katie, Dan.
Jonathan continued, Katie and Dan suggested I was the direct cause of Samantha killing herself. This was Samantha's choice. I can't take responsibility for something she did. So this guy's disconnected.
He's cold.
He's checked out.
Something
well, that's
right.
He should be a lawyer. Oh, wait. He's actually going to be a lawyer.
I think I should be a lawyer. I should be an attorney.
We talked about this already.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you going to interrupt me? Are you going to get even? Because this headline is End of World Prediction Interrupts TV Broadcasts in Orange County.
If I was the end of the world, I would be interrupting you right now.
OC Interruptions. That's what I'm going to – that's the subtitle that
Orange
I'm giving.
County.
Yeah. Some Orange County residents were stunned Thursday, September 21st, when television programming was suddenly interrupted for about a minute with an ominous message predicting the end of the world.
What?
So before we turn the microphones on, we were having our band meeting today.
Band meeting.
And we brought up the fact that certain people, there was a group of people who thought that the world was going to end on the 21st, right?
Right. So on the 21st, there was a thought from some Christian groups that, I don't know who and why, but they thought... the 21st, that the rapture was going to happen. If you were Christian, that it was all over.
That's ridiculous.
So then there's another group that thought on the 23rd, Saturday the 23rd was going to be there was a star, a planet, or something was going to hit the Earth.
Yeah.
That guy changed his mind at the last second.
Oh, did he really?
It's not actually going to happen.
Oh, was it Sunday? Did he change his mind on Sunday?
Maybe. No, I don't remember, but I think it was actually just before he probably got nervous and said, this ain't going to happen. And then there was somebody a few months ago saying that back in May or June it was going to happen, and if it didn't happen then, it was going to happen again. It was going to happen by today or something. So,
yeah.
Or not today, but
sometime
today. Sometime like September.
Okay, anyway, so Stacy.
So that was a lot of nothing. Basically, if you're hearing this podcast,
they're all
false
wrong.
Alarms.
Everybody's wrong.
Yeah.
Stacy LaFlame of Lake Forest.
LaFlame!
Said she was watching the HGTV channel via Cox Communications around 11:05 a.m. when suddenly an emergency alert flashed across her screen, followed by a voice. Realize this. I wonder if there was an echo behind it. It should have been. If not, realize this. Extremely violent times will come. Well, that's true. A man's voice boomed, according to a video of the alert. LaFlame said she was alarmed. Ah! It almost sounded like Hitler talking. That's terrible. What if it was? What if it was an old recording that just got found its way back?
Did he say, let me see your papers?
He did. And he said, Moose and Squirrel. Wrong country. It sounded like a radio broadcast coming through the television. So it could have been Hitler. It could have been a recording from Hitler. In addition to Cox, Spectrum cable customers in Orange County received the alert as well. Aaron Miracles of Diamond Bar was watching the Bravo channel on Spectrum's cable system when her show was interrupted by the alert.
I was definitely startled because the volume increased exponentially, she said. I wasn't alarmed in the sense of thinking something was wrong because, you know, I assumed I was some sort of hack. Or it was some sort of hack. I'm not a hack. I assumed it was a hack.
That voice is a hack.
My channel changed back to Bravo after a couple of minutes.
Did she yell, Bravo?
She did. She said, Bravo. The problem occurred because of one or more radio stations conducting an emergency test. We've all heard those. Doop, you know, this is a test and all that. Joe Camaro, a spokesman for Cox, said that Thursday.
His name is Joe Camaro?
Yes, it is. Cable systems. He should have been a rock star.
That's my new favorite name.
I'm going to start calling you Joe Camaro.
All right.
Cable systems.
All right.
Picked up such alerts, and viewers should have seen a typical emergency broadcast test. With these tests, an emergency tone is sent out to initiate the test. So the tone comes out and it initiates what's supposed to follow. After the tone is transmitted, another tone is sent to end the message. In this case, it appears that the radio station or television stations did not transmit the end tone to complete the test. Then the broadcast picked up some audio feed that bled into the alert. So
someone hijacked it.
The alert was supposed to stop after the second tone, but the stations didn't pick up that tone. Somebody probably did hack into it. And then there
sounds like the famous where Chicago, where the guy showed up as Max Headroom.
Yes, that was awesome. That's so good.
Yeah.
So anyway, Camaro said Cox technicians shut down the emergency test as soon as they became aware of the problem. We don't want to alarm anyone with any false emergency alerts, he said. Cox and Spectrum are both investigating who sent out the alert, whether it was done accidentally or on purpose. It's unclear, Craig, where the audio came from.
I mean, quite honestly, the Rapture thing on Thursday would have been a better deal.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather, you know, if you're a believer, you know, you could have just, you know, disappeared that day, and then all the crazy people left over could have.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Had the planet slam them and go through the scary broadcast and stuff.
Sure.
But here's the thing.
What?
None of it happened.
It didn't. We're still here.
Yeah.
And you're still here listening to us on Weird. So you're safe.
Either we're
go out and enjoy your day.
Well, we have a way of uplifting people.
Sure,
don't we?
We're a very positive podcast.
We really are. Hey, let's talk about Russian women.
Oh, I love.
No,
hey,
not the way you normally.
There is a raven with a pancake on his head.
This is the often not used Russian theme song that I really like.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's a Russian.
Yeah, I get that
officially.
Russian woman. You want to talk about a Russian woman?
Yeah.
She finds a severed bird head in a can of corn.
Don't eat that corn.
No, you know what they call that in Russia?
What?
Dinner.
She didn't.
She got corn and a little meat with the corn.
I got the bonus.
What was that?
It's packed in vodka.
Russian woman finds severed bird head. Did they get the moose and the squirrel and
no,
the bird?
No.
They often say never open a can of worms. Okay, that's a stretch.
Who wrote this? Yeah, I don't know. Russia? Somebody in Russia?
But a Russian woman found herself. Yeah, who says don't open a can of worms? First of all, I've never bought cans.
Hey, Craig, don't open a can of worms here.
I've never.
You're not going to be able to close
that's
it.
That's true.
That's a Pandora's box you don't want to open.
I've never actually bought.
Wait, that's a Pantera's box you don't want to open.
Pantera. But a Russian woman found herself in a bizarre situation when she opened a can of corn. No, it's a can of corns.
There's a lot of them in there, yeah.
And found the severed head of a bird! Exclamation point.
Yikes!
Yes. A scene coming right out of a horror film. The woman from Belgorod.
Oh, no, she's from Belgorod.
She's from the Belgorod region of the country. Opened the can to make dinner, but she completely lost her appetite after what she saw inside the container.
There was a photograph with this story, and it made me not want to eat.
Yeah, never touch corn again.
The bird had little X's in its eyes, so I knew it was dead.
Ooh. Cartoon bird. Yeah. They're the worst ones to find in your can of corns. She took to a Russian social media platform to share the pictures of her ominous findings.
It was their Facebook.
That's right. So much for my salad. Without any suspicion, I opened a can of corn this evening, and there it was, a bird's head.
And she became Hispanic for some reason.
She yelled it, too.
Yeah, bird's head. The RT
Maybe it was bird's
news.
Head corn. You ever think of that?
Huh?
There's bird's
eye.
Head
bird's eye corn. Yes. Corn, yeah. The RT News, was that Russian Times?
Yes.
Translated what the woman wrote on Peekaboo.
Peekaboo.
Peekaboo, I see you in my corn. She also put out the name of the brand and wrote that she was Stilinchok. She talks like that. That's how Russian women talk. Still in shock.
Yeah, that's how they all talk.
While sharing the grim experience online.
It had to be a crow because I always see scarecrows in cornfields.
Because you always hear about people eating crow.
Yes. Yeah, especially Russians.
Yeah, they eat crow.
And drink vodka.
The woman was, I bet if it was in her vodka, she wouldn't say a word.
Her vodka. Vodka.
What about it?
Yeah, she wouldn't have said a word. She would have drank away.
No.
She said protein.
Yes. The woman was disturbed discovering the dead avian in her food, but also worried that many others would have gotten severed parts of the bird in their packaged food.
Sure. Somebody got the feet, man.
Also, dinner didn't turn out. I'm worried how many more cans in the series contain parts of bird's water-infused corpse.
I can't do. I lost it. I cannot do it.
Don't worry about it.
I can't do it.
We know what you want to do.
I'm sad that I couldn't do a Russian woman's accent.
It's okay.
But she did say she was afraid the other cans were going to have the bird's water infused corpse.
That's disgusting.
That's poetic.
That's gross.
That's poetic. What would happen if someone ate a few spoons of that corn with a foreign body lying on the bottom, the woman added? Well, they'd probably get sick and vomit.
Yeah, I would.
Die of some disease.
What if you're eating your corn and all of a sudden a beak just kind of, you scoop down to get some corn and there's a beak.
Oh.
You're like, what the?
I am so glad that to this, and that's going to happen now that I say this, that my of my 35 years on this planet.
Yeah, whatever.
That
where were you the other 20 years?
that I'm not 55, you loser.
Whatever.
So anyway, that I've never so far run into anything that did not belong in the food.
No, because we've had quite a few stories of odd things in cans of food lately. It's been going on quite a bit lately. Snakes?
You know, I remember as a kid, you only had to worry about strychnine in your Tylenol or something.
Or pins in your peanut butter kisses at Halloween.
Yeah, something like that. You didn't have to.
Do you know that never happened? It never happened. That has been debunked.
Really?
Yes.
Razor blades and apples.
Let me say this. It did kind of happen, but they discovered that the father had put this stuff in his children's candy, like, to get attention and went to called the news and everything.
Okay, what you're talking about is back in the day, there were all these scares.
Yeah.
That in Halloween, people were putting foreign objects and stuff in candy to hurt the kids.
Yeah, razor blades, pins.
Now, I think the razor blade and the apple has since happened. That has actually happened.
According to the program
in recent years.
No, this was a new program I saw like 2 weeks ago.
I don't watch nude programs.
Not a nude program.
You just said you watched a nude program.
It was a new documentary. And they were
documentary.
No, they were debunking myths.
But I think in recent years, though, I have read about a situation where
if you read about it, according to this documentary,
okay,
it was all
but
made
what
up.
Are they? What are they? The judge and jury here? They know everything.
They looked into every case that's been single case of something in candy.
Maybe they should get on the guy that turned into a tricycle.
Maybe.
Maybe they should try to debunk that.
Well, they couldn't. They tried to interview him, and he just sat there.
That's the horn that thing makes.
Is it really? If I
can like
turn
a monkey.
Into a tricycle, I want a horn that really auga.
I got nothing today.
Boy, we are sidetracked.
Why don't you go to this next one?
All right. Headline is, driver crashes after losing his steering wheel.
That happens.
You're driving
down the road. You tell me this. Never been driving. Who has not been driving down the road? You look over to change the radio or something. You look back. Steering wheel's gone.
Can't find it.
No.
It's lost. So driver crashes after losing his steering wheel. This happened in Houston. An unusual mishap in one Houston man's truck led to a major crash Thursday morning. According to Houston police, the driver lost control of his truck when his steering wheel came off. What would you do if you were just driving down the road and all of a sudden click?
What is it, a NASCAR vehicle or something?
Police said the truck slammed into the guardrail, trapping the driver. Firefighters were forced to extricate the driver through the passenger door. He was taken to the hospital with traumatic. It was kind of automatic and traumatic at
traumatic.
The same time. Officials at the scene said the steering wheel could not be found inside the truck. So he really did lose the steering wheel.
You look over and you change the radio and you come in. Who is this not happened to?
But it's unclear if it flew out of the vehicle during the crash. And of course, the driver has not been identified.
They can't identify.
They don't know who he is.
They talk to him, but they have no idea who he is.
He has no identification on him whatsoever.
That was loud.
Was it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to wake you up because you gazed down the window. I'm going to have to pull these blinds. Hang on. I'll be right back. While this is playing, I'm going to pull blinds. All right. Let's go to Australia, shall we, Mike?
As if. There weren't enough things to worry about in Australia. Meet the magpie.
Oh, I've seen magpies.
You have?
Yeah.
This isn't a thing you get at the...
Oh, no.
Isn't the Kroger bakery.
Oh, I was thinking of chicken pot pie.
I don't care.
Oh, whatever.
No, that's Jimmy Crack Corn. Anywho.
With a bird's head.
A rogue magpie was culled last week after attacking people in Sanssouci.
Sanssouci.
Bayside Council said they had numerous complaints and photo. I don't even know if that's Suchi or not, but that doesn't sound very Australian, does it?
Nothing. It sounds, you know what it sounds? Asian?
Maybe it's Sanssouci.
You come over here, Suchi.
Sanssouci. I don't know.
I'll give you some butt-headed corn.
Okay, you done?
Yeah.
Bayside Council said they had numerous complaints and photo evidence that the bird was causing serious injuries
to
residents.
So now the headline is correct again. We've already got enough to worry about Australia.
Yeah, now we've got to worry about birds before they get canned in some corn, attacking people.
Yes.
They reported it to the National Parks and Wildlife Service for assessment, and the bird was later deemed as dangerous.
Council, that bird's dangerous, see?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
not I mean, a bud.
That's not a bud. Council, they said, crikey.
Crikey, mate.
That bird just dive-bombed me. He's dangerous.
That's not a bud.
That's when they actually had to deem him. They had a ceremony. I deem him dangerous.
Bing!
All say aye. And they said, oi.
It is decided.
It is decided. This bird is dangerous.
So now they got bird wrestling over
That's
there,
right.
too.
Just after 10 on Monday, September 11th, a licensed contractor was used, and the bird was killed.
What?
He was dispatched.
Man.
Speaking to the leader in italics for some reason, at the same time,
That's
she said
the paper. The newspaper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But they only, it's the paper, and it's only, everything's italicized in that,
yes,
in that
paper.
Yes,
it's all leader.
Speaking to the leader at the time, she said the magpie swooped past her repeatedly. This time it hit my helmet. She's also from England.
She
said,
hurt.
It makes a crikey noise.
Sure it
no,
does.
No, it says cracking, but I like to say crikey. It made a cracking noise with its claws or its beak. Whatever it was, it swooped at me and hit my helmet hard and, to warn me and push me away. It was a little too close, crikey.
She was getting attacked by a magpie.
I got off my bike and stood still, but it kept swooping on me.
She's like, I'm a statue. She tried to fool it.
She put her arms out so it could perch.
I'm a scarecrow.
Yeah, I'm a scarecrow. You just don't know if they're attacking you or the helmet. They could see the helmet as a helmet as a predator.
He hates these helmets.
Yeah.
He hates these cans.
I told you guys not to get the red ones. I took my helmet off and held it in the air above my head so he would not attack me. But then I walked away backwards because they are not known to swoop at you if you're looking at them. But this one kept swooping.
It didn't care.
No.
You know what? It was the honey badger of magpies.
Yeah, it did not care.
It didn't give a flip.
Just after it attacked me, it swooped on another cyclist across the road. I was able to warn her.
Look out!
And she was able to get away to avoid the magpie before he got her shrimp.
It's a bud!
Before he got his shrimp on the barbie.
It's a bud. He's got a blooming onion.
He's got a blooming onion. Alice Street, is that a street or is that her name?
No,
has
her.
Been identified as a magpie.
Oh, it is a street.
It is a street.
Yeah,
you
my bad.
You silly man. Has been identified as a magpie hotspot on Magpie Alert, a website designed to track and record attacks Australia-wide.
We got to check that out.
Why is there not a umbrella website that covers everything that wants to
crocodile? Crocodile report.
No, Australia. No, what about Australia wants to kill you.com?
Yeah.
And everything in it is just animals that try to kill you.
Yes.
Creator of the website, John Clark, said that he set up the website after almost falling off his bike following a magpie.
I said a magpie
swooping. I set it up back in 2013. When I was out on a bike ride, I got swooped by a magpie and almost came off at 35 kilometers.
Goodness gracious. He was cooking.
No, he was riding his bike. After getting home, Mr. Clark found there were no websites to track magpie swoopings, so he used...
That's a surprise.
Yeah, really. You would think those would be just, you know, busting out
we
everywhere.
We got tons of them over here.
Yeah, and we don't have them. That's the best thing about it, is we're ready if they ever migrate.
We got a ton of them up here up top. You know, they're down under, we're up top.
Yeah. Well, if the magpies ever decide to migrate, we got the websites.
Sure we do.
But anyway, he used his development skills to build a website. Check out magpiealert.com.
You know, I will, as soon as I get done with Crocodile Alert. That's not a magpie.
That's not a magpie.
That's a magpie. Headline is, Singapore baggage handler swapped hundreds of tags. This is what happens when you get bored.
You start confusing the heck out of everybody.
A baggage
handler. Good grief, can you imagine how long it took to sort all this out?
No, I cannot. A baggage handler at Singapore's International Airport allegedly swapped hundreds of baggage tags, sending luggage to the wrong destination.
Oh, Tay Boon Kay.
Tay Boon Kay has been charged with 286 counts of mischief.
Well, that's probably penalty of death, isn't it?
How many counts of mischief could you be charged with right now? With your 55 years you've been on this earth, think back of all the mischief.
Probably 286,000.
Probably.
Yeah,
right. There was enough in high school to put me away for life.
Yeah, we should be so lucky.
He swapped tags starting on November the 8th of last year, and every day for 3 months, the court heard, but no motive was given. I'll give you a motive. He was bored at work. He thought this would be funny.
Why did you do this, Boon K? I know like no one.
I was powerful. I control the baggage.
Yeah, it's my... I am the king of the baggage.
You think you control your baggage? No, sir. I control the baggage.
You know who in control.
If found guilty, he faces a year in jail or a fine for each of the charges. I found you for this bag. I found you for this bag. This bag you go to jail for. I found you for this bag. Singapore, Shanghai.
It was just a dead moment after you did that. Just nothing happened.
I had to get my thoughts back together. Singapore, Shanghai Airport told the newspaper it was an isolated case of mischief and there was no serious breach of aviation security. Have you ever lost a bag in flight? Have you ever gotten to your... Me either.
Nope. I think my daughter or somebody did.
Our friend Miguel, when he came the first time in the 80s to stay with us...
Yeah, that's right.
Lost all his... It was like weeks before his baggage arrived.
And he had like money in it or something.
Lots. Yeah. I mean, I was like, what are you doing with all that money?
Because he was laundering it.
Yeah.
Between Mexico exactly. and America. Yeah.
Mr. Tay's rogue swag topping, tag swapping allegedly began when he switched the tag of a bag bound for Penang, Malaysia.
No,
with
that's,
another bag.
You're thinking of Penang.
with another
Which, by
bag,
the way, is a parking lot soon.
The newspaper said, yes, it is. Over the next 3 months, luggage headed to cities including Hong Kong, Manila, and London. They were all sent to other destinations.
Okay, so this next one, I'm over it at this point.
Why?
I'm sick and tired.
Why?
Of peanut butter, candy Ooh. Bars, all this stuff turning over in interstates, and I'm not there. To
why
pick,
aren't we ever there?
Because they're going to give it to you, right?
You know what? Well, why not? You're cleaning up. Take all this candy. I remember as a child, we passed an accident on the interstate of a watermelon truck that had turned over.
Yeah.
And everybody was going into the median. Taking watermelons back to their car, and it crushed me as a child. I thought, not only this guy just wrecked his truck, probably in some kind of danger now in the hospital, but people are stealing his watermelons.
Is that known as the watermelon mile now? Because now there's watermelons growing right
yes,
there.
Yes, there's lots of them.
Watermelon growing everywhere over there.
Yes.
Well, there's this rig, okay?
Yeah.
A rig, a big truck.
Right.
And it was chock full. It wasn't just full. It was chock full of candy bars.
Right.
And it overturned. Okay, that was the headline,
Flipped,
basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rig chock full of candy bars overturns in Gordonsville, Virginia. The scene was a chocoholic's delight.
Why wasn't I there, Craig?
That was my point at the beginning. Why are we never there when it happens? I don't want it to happen.
No.
But if it's going to happen, dump them on my car.
Please. I don't mind.
A rig full. Could you imagine those, you know, those boxes, like the candy bars come in those brown case or the
yes.
cases? And when you're a kid, the thought of going to a candy place and getting an entire case.
Oh, it's Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Too bad you don't like that. And then so...
I don't.
So imagine like just cases of candy. My car, the axle would break. It'd be so full.
I would have to hire somebody, a big rig. But then it would probably flip.
Yeah, you had to put them in your car because they'd be all gone by the time somebody... But anyway, the scene was a chocoholic's
delight.
Crank
that air conditioner up.
As I've said repeatedly, it was a rig full of candy bars.
Yes.
That overturned on a road.
Why do you see how much?
Well, I can't get through the stinking story. CBS 19 in Charlottesville reported Tuesday that the truck was hauling 47,000 pounds. 47,000 pounds.
I'll just take a tenth of that. I'd be happy with 470 pounds.
I think it was a pound. Whatever.
Sure.
Of Hershey's chocolate bars. When it ran off the side of the road near Gordonsville, the chocolate stayed in the truck. Well, okay. Hold on.
Yeah, really. This is a non-story.
We've gotten so excited, and there's nothing to be...
It's a non-story.
Yeah, we should skip this one.
No. Keep going.
I'm brokenhearted now.
No, we have good stuff. Keep going.
No, I mean, because I'm brokenhearted. I wanted...
You know what? Here.
In my mind...
Have a peppermint patty.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
The chocolate stayed in the truck. Which is good news. Let's not act like we're fiends.
That's
okay,
not good news. They got insurance.
That's true. The driver was, and they're probably broken.
Probably yes.
The driver wasn't hurt, but the police say he may be cited. Well, here's the deal.
What?
If he was cited, he wouldn't have wrecked the truck.
Oh.
The driver told police that a car ahead of him had no brake or taillights.
Wasn't his fault.
And they swerved off the road to avoid hitting the car. Police said the truck should not have been on that road.
Shouldn't been. Why
which
not?
It has length restrictions for vehicles. The truck was 67 feet long, 2 feet longer than it's allowed. Now, here's the thing.
Well, he should have been cited.
We had someone in on my wife's side, Glenna, we don't talk about. And we had someone on her side of the family that drove trucks. And it's amazing what, I mean, these guys have to, like, I mean, dot the I's and cross the T's.
My dad was a truck driver.
If they want to mess with you when you pull over to weigh your truck, if you don't have your paperwork, your papers.
Are your papers in order? Right.
So they got him not because he wrecked. They got him because they said, oh, he's not supposed to be on this road anyway. He's caused me paperwork.
You think he said, hey, I got a little something for you in the cabin.
Yeah. What? Maybe this will change your mind.
Yeah.
I do like Kit Kats.
You like almonds
Except
or not?
Those aren't actually Hershey. I do like the, ooh.
Hershey almonds.
Kisses. What if you had a bajillion Hershey Kisses? You put them in the freezer.
Have you had the little Hershey's, the little nuggets? Hershey?
Yeah, the...
They're good.
Treasures or
Treasures,
yeah.
yes, with mm-hmm. almond. Holy cow, I'm going to have some when I get home.
Yeah, but you know what I've been hooked up on here lately?
What? Bananas?
Those peanut butter parfaits at Dairy Queen.
Oh, yeah. Anything under the DQ umbrella, I'm for.
I've never seen the umbrella.
Yeah, it's,
oh,
it's
actually, I was on the patio. They had it on the patio.
Anything under that's awesome.
So if I'm at a table that doesn't have an umbrella.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah, but move to one if there's one available.
So my peanut butter parfait was probably under the umbrella because it was excellent.
That's so good.
People, and see, here's the thing, too. People think blizzards are so good.
They are.
Yeah, they are. They yes. are. No. Let me finish. Blizzards are good.
Yes.
But the peanut butter parfait was there before.
Absolutely. It's so you're saying classic. The blizzard has overshadowed the deliciousness.
The classic.
And they are classic.
Yeah.
I still remember. You're not going to believe this. I remember the first time.
I don't believe you remember anything.
I ever had a peanut butter parfait.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was a little town next to where we are now.
I bet I know the one you're talking about.
Pulled in there, and I thought, I'm going to try something new. I used to just get the dilly bars, which I still get.
Yeah, those are good.
To this day.
It's a dilly.
But I said, I'm going to try. Somebody else was buying. So I said, I'm going to try a peanut butter parfait. And holy cow,
and for
my
those
life.
Of you who don't know, the one or two of you that have never in your... Well, they got people... We're in over 40 countries.
Yeah.
Now.
44, last count.
So Dairy Queen, we always talk about, is an ice cream place.
That's the best.
And they have all these delicious ice cream treats. They call them treats.
They do call them treats because you know what, Craig? They're treats.
They're treats. Yeah. And the peanut butter parfait is a parfait cup. It's a tall, skinny cup that starts with hot fudge and peanuts in the bottom.
Oh, stop it.
Then some soft serve, the Dairy Queen ice cream.
Best.
The vanilla soft serve.
So good.
Then some more peanuts and some more
hot fudge.
Then some more ice cream.
Yep.
And then topped off with more peanuts and more hot fudge.
It's a triple decker of deliciousness.
If I could physically springboard dive headfirst and fit in the cup, I would go in the bottom of the cup and work my way up.
And I'm convinced that if you could do that, it would be so good because you'd be warm and then you'd cool down.
You'd be warm.
And then you'd be warm and then you'd cool down.
I'm pretty sure that there's probably some kind of therapy for us.
Probably. I don't know. I don't know that there is.
But I'm only going to meet the therapist at Dairy Queen.
Well, my wife, Lori, who we really don't talk about her either, but she has got me on a diet. You see, I get all choked up talking about it.
You're getting kind of weepy.
But I've had this bronchitis like all summer long.
Because you're disgusting.
She's come to the conclusion that it's time for me to make food my medicine.
So you're going to have a bunch of Dairy Queen.
I like that medicine. I could take that medicine.
It's a strange medicine.
Well, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down.
That's what they that Sound of Music, right?
That's a real song. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah.
Okay, next story.
Maybe before the
headline,
listener goes to sleep.
Headline is, man in gorilla mask and diaper steals bananas from Walmart.
I'd pay to see it.
How could we not cover a story like this?
I would pay to see that.
There's so much weirdness in the headline alone. A man in a gorilla mask, weird, and a diaper, really weird.
But, you know, up to that point, it sounds like it could be any Walmart customer.
Pretty much. Steals bananas. That's weird, too.
But that...
From Walmart.
I would almost have to let the guy go.
Well, let's see what happens. Yeah, me too.
I just had to pay for it out of my own pocket. Because you know what? That right there?
Yeah.
Dinner and a show.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
You said...
No, it's not Halloween yet, but a man dressed in a gorilla mask and a diaper found his way into a Walmart. Well, it's not hard.
It's not really hard.
It's not a secret.
Automatic doors.
Yeah. Tony Kolstad was behind the camera of a Facebook Live video which shows the person in costume walking through a Milwaukee area store and interacting with customers.
Interacting?
Yeah, that's what he was doing, and employees. He eventually grabbed bananas off a display and started walking towards the door. You know what happened then? Management intervened.
They said, that's not a banana.
We're going to have to ask you to leave. He said, I was leaving. Get out of my way.
He said,
The person in costume ran out of the store. Police eventually caught up with him and cited him for obstructing an officer. Police told WISN 12 News the group actually bought the bananas ahead of time and then carried them out with the prank and pretended to steal the produce. So
who do you explain that to?
They actually bought the bananas and then they set them back down and it was going to look like a prank. They were stealing bananas. Kolstad admitted some people may have been scared or confused, but said, naughty chimpy is misunderstood.
Naughty chimpy.
That's what he said.
Oh my gosh. Man locked in cave for 60 hours after his group forgot about him.
This would happen to me.
I was going to say, you beat me to it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this would be me.
This would be either one of us. With our life stories, yes.
Yes, right.
Except of my family. If I was camping in a cave with my family, they would just leave me. They wouldn't forget.
Come on. I don't remember that. I don't remember that iron gate being on the front of the cave. But when we went to bed last night, Bloomington, Indiana. A 19-year-old man who spent 60 hours locked alone inside a gated southern Indiana cave says he feels lucky to be alive.
Quite lucky to be alive.
Indiana University freshman Lucas Kavar was on a spelunking trip. Okay, that's something I'm never going to do.
Oh, I love spelunking.
No, I'm talking the ones where they go in, like, literally, they have to suck in their lungs to,
yes,
to fit.
To go through the, yes, no, love it.
Not going to happen.
It's happened to me.
You're not going to get through anything like that.
I have slept in a cave overnight.
I'm talking about where there was a guy, we actually, Craig's random story, actually.
Are you serious?
Craig's random story.
So we were watching that Strange Death show, whatever it was.
Yeah, you talked about that
quite a
bit.
Yeah, right, right. And there was a guy that went, he was spelunking, and he went through one of those where he literally had to, like,
dead man squeeze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to choke doing that. Anyway, I almost started choking. Anyway, just thinking about it, I started getting like all.
You be careful.
So he went through, and then somehow his body, it dropped on the other side. So his body basically became like a hairpin.
Oh, no, he asphyxiated.
And he. Yeah. So what happened was he got trapped. They couldn't pull him through because his ribs were acting kind of like barbs.
Ugh.
Because his ribs were smooth going in.
They're
kind
of shaped like fish hook.
Well, you know, imagine going in. They get smaller to bigger.
Right.
From the top to the bottom, right?
Top to the bottom.
From the top to the bottom, they're kind of smaller, get bigger.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I'm no doctor.
So but imagine this. He goes in forward. It works fine.
Yeah.
But coming back out, if you like stick your hand under your bottom rib, you know, it was catching on the,
oh,
on the
crap,
rock. So he couldn't get out. So they knew where he was. They're trying to get the guy out. He dies.
Yeah.
Game over.
Happy.
Thanks. And so this is my random story.
Thanks, Craig.
It connected with this, and that was the end of the story.
Craig's random story.
So Indiana University freshman Lucas Kavar, he was spelunking.
How Kavar?
In Sullivan Cave, about 10 miles south of Bloomington, when he became separated Sunday afternoon from 12 other members of the university's caving club.
Oh, fun.
When he eventually reached the cave entrance, he found club members had padlocked his gate, its gate rather, unaware that he remained inside. He couldn't get a cell phone signal, because he's in a cave,
sure,
and screamed for hours, "Mama!" I don't know if that's what he did.
You think they locked the cave?
Mommy.
And like, you know, I feel like we're forgetting something. Did you leave the water?
It's like Home Alone.
Yes, it is.
Cave Alone.
Oh,
and
that's good.
Yeah. So he was hoping the motors passing by would hear him. It took me a little while to wrangle my emotions and sort of approach things analytically, sensibly, to come up with a game plan to survive, Kavar said Thursday, 2 days after his rescue. The Bloomington man, whose parents are Indiana University linguistics professors, tried picking the padlock with a paperclip to no avail. So, we skipped something here. They found him.
Yeah, they did find him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know they found him, but I'm saying they skipped the point. Like, how did he attract anybody over to find him?
I'd like to know.
Yeah, I'd like to know that. Dressed in light clothes, hiking boots, and a helmet, Kavar had a plastic bag, two energy bar wrappers, two empty water bottles, a cell phone, and a wallet. He used the energy bar wrappers to collect moisture. That's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And the water bottles to collect rainfall.
Well,
and
how long
puddled
was he in
cave
there?
Water.
Well, 60 hours.
60 hours. That's over 2 days. Well, that's almost 3 days.
Well, I guess he would have to then.
Yeah. He also... Okay, here we go. This is where it gets real.
This is where
the tongue meets the wall.
Weirdness.
Ready?
Yeah.
If you're stuck in a cave and you've got nothing but a can of corn with a bird head in it,
yeah,
you're going to get to a point. I don't know what that point is. You're going to get to that point where you're going to eat that.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to be so...
Bird head and everything.
It's like the where they weren't they rugby players that were in the book Alive?
Yep.
Good book. They had to resort to cannibalism repeatedly. I've said there's some point.
I've heard you say this.
There's some point you're going to get hungry enough, you'll eat anything. If you're stuck in a cave and you've got nothing but a can of corn and you find a bird head in it.
Like a cave in Russia.
Yeah, you're going to eat it.
Sure.
You're going to get some. It's like the
it's like a full meal.
It's like the rugby team in the book Alive. They had to resort to cannibalism.
Great book.
Because they had to survive it. At some point they had to, and I always heard that when an airplane would fly over that they would actually get sick. And so here's the point. I might be licking the cave walls to get water.
Sure.
I might eat a cave cricket.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit a point, and I'm going to hold off till I can't stand it anymore.
I might eat a cave cricket just for fun. I'd do it
just to say you had something exotic.
Yeah, I'd do it.
But anyway, so after his parents filed a missing persons report, a high school friend informed the caving club's president that Kavar was missing. Two club leaders immediately returned to the cave late Tuesday after finding a pile of clothes in a vehicle club members used to travel Sunday to the cave. They discovered Kavar uninjured and asleep behind the locked gate.
Are you sure? Okay, man.
Is he asleep or is he dead?
Oh, God. That had to be scary.
I'm really glad to be alive. It feels like I've had a second chance, said Kavar, who returned to classes Thursday and has no plans for another spelunking trip.
You know, at the end of the day,
they better owe him a bunch of meals.
It's bad, okay? But it was 2 days. 2 days.
It's an adventure.
And he feels, yes. And I guess on day two, you're thinking, all right, this might be it. Maybe that's it. Maybe he was just so exasperated.
I'm going to die here.
Yeah. he came to peace.
It's the Mark Patch Top 10.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing this a little differently today.
Are we?
Yeah, you've been coughing like crazy.
Man, this is going to take me forever to edit this episode.
So we're going to I'm going to run through these. But these are words I'm going to use when referring to you from now on.
No.
Top 10 forgotten but very real archaic insults.
I think after we're done with this list, we need to hang on to it and try to use one of these words every episode from now on.
Here we go. Number 10, used to describe Aaron as adult. It's dunce. You could use it as interchangeable with the word dunce. Number 10, top 10 forgotten archaic insults, dorble.
You're adorable.
You're adorable. I'm adorable?
Thank you. Yeah, you said it.
Number 9, druxy.
That's a good one.
That's an adjective. It usually is used to refer to wood or timber having decayed spots, but it was once used to describe people who may seem good on the outside but are rotten within.
Oh, I know a lot of druxies.
You're a druxy.
You are.
Number 8, your favorite.
Uh-huh.
Crapulous.
I love that word.
It's an adjective. It's basically
crapulous.
It's crapulous. You're debauched. You're marked by intemperance, especially in eating or drinking.
Oh, okay.
You're just crapulous.
Yeah.
Number 7, again, used to a lot of people refer to Aaron this way.
No.
A fop doodle.
That's a fun word to say.
It's a fop doodle. It's a stupid or insignificant fellow, a fool, a simpleton. You're a fop doodle.
You're a fop doodle.
Number 6, gormless.
Okay, maybe I am gormless.
Lacking intelligence or stupid.
I'm not gormless.
Number 5 of the top 10 forgotten but very real archaic insults, groke. It's a verb to look at someone with a watchful or suspicious eye.
I feel like I'm about to groke.
Yeah, I'm looking kind of grokey at you over there. Number 4, another fun one to say, honeyfugle.
Honeyfugle?
Honeyfugle.
That sounds like a cereal.
To deceive, cheat, or swindle.
I want a bowl of honey.
These
Google.
Are great words. Number 3, scobberlotcher.
Yes.
Someone who avoids hard work like it's their... That's us. We're scobberlotchers.
Yeah, we are. Proud of it.
Number 2 of the top 10 forgotten but very real archaic insults, sorner.
Sorner.
It's a person who takes meat and drink from others by force or menace. You're a food thief.
Give me that blizzard.
Without paying for it. You're like the sorners that went into that place that day and ate, and then they cha-cha'd out the door.
Oh, yeah.
Bunch of sorners. And the number 1 of the top 10 forgotten but very real archaic insults.
Yes.
Snout band.
Snout band.
It's an old English term for a person who's always interrupting other people's conversations. That's me. That's me.
That is me for sure.
That is so me. I'm out.